Turn in your Bibles, New King James Version, please, to Psalm 52. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For our psalm meditation, I'll read through the psalm, and then we'll see what God has to tell us about it today. Psalm 52, to the chief musician, a contemplation of David when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness, Selah. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him, saying, Here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I will trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever, because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. Now here in this psalm, we have a quick, actually it's a fairly short psalm, pretty quick look at the wicked, the occasion for it. And children, we're going to look at something that you see in Scripture quite often, especially in the Psalms and in the Proverbs, that there's a difference between the occasion for a writing and the actual interpretation or meaning of it. And even yet, there may be a further fulfillment of it beyond that. A lot of Scripture is more than just the occasion in which it was written. The occasion for this one, children, was when an evil man, the psalm tells us his motivations. We would think first possibly just because he was loyal to Saul and not to David. But we see in the words of Scripture, in God's word, his motivation is just to do something wrong, just to be twisted. If you read the old King James, the original version, or the second edition of it, you'll see the word froward occasionally show up, and that's exactly what the word means. If you're an Edgar Allan Poe fan, you may have read the short story The Imp of the Perverse, which again describes this human characteristic, this fallen human characteristic, very clearly. When you're told to turn right, you turn left. When you're told to look up, you look down. When you're told to shut up, you ask why. When you're told to speak, you look on dumbly without saying anything. And children, you've all done something very like this, and I would warrant within the last 24 hours, certainly within the last week. You were told to do something, and you purposely did exactly the opposite, or at least something completely different, for no good reason whatsoever. And that sort of perversity, that's another good word for it in its original meaning, is something that has entered into the human heart, or actually was part of it, but has come out of it more since the fall. The psalm begins, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? And I think the O mighty man there is something that is sarcastically used. The thing that you should be ashamed of the most, you boast of, because you're a perverse person. Why do you boast in evil, which is temporary, when the goodness of God endures continually? You boast of the thing that can do you no good and will set you to judgment. You boast of the thing that is temporary and weak, when the goodness of God is eternal. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Now, when I read this initially, looking to go through this, this line meant a lot to me. Those of you who were around a few years ago when I was learning to shave with a straight razor will remember that something that you intend for one purpose can slip and do damage instead of the good you had it for very, very easily. Because one time I wasn't paying too good attention to what I was doing, and I almost cut my chin off. Big gouge right through there. But something that was in my hand for one purpose worked deceitfully and did evil rather than the good I intended it. That's the tongue. It devises destruction. God put it to do good things, but it works deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. Now, children, this is something that maybe you've experienced, that when somebody asks you why you did something or what you did, Even if telling the truth wouldn't get you in any trouble whatsoever, you come out with a lie instead. And again, that's the wickedness that's born, that's bound up in the heart of a child, in the heart of a human. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. And that's looking at Doeg, who was deceitful and loved a devouring word, meaning he said a word to Saul that was supposed to result in the destruction of David. But David goes on to write, God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place, Selah, uproot you from the land of the living. Now, one thing that struck me again as I was reading this, if you look at the history of the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of times where you've got this body of people who are in covenant with God, and they fall away, and then God visits destruction upon them and destroys the unbelieving or the unrighteous, the covenant breakers within that community. And the remnant of the nation of Israel gets smaller and smaller and smaller down through history. And we tend to look at that in a dismal sort of way. We look at that as God taking away a large proportion of the visible covenant people of God. But here in the psalm, it tells us that God uses this as a way of purifying the people of God. The wicked who were there pretending to be of Israel, but were really the wicked and perverse people, are removed. And why is that? So that the righteous shall see and fear. The righteous shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. It shows the glory of God. It shows the righteousness of God. And it teaches the people of God to rest on Him rather than the strength of the world. Now, this psalm is interesting. First, it talks to the wicked. Then it talks to or looks at the righteous and how they act. And then the final section here is a very personal. It's a first-person account, then, of what the psalm means. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I wait on your name, for it is good. Now, this was David's contemplation. He saw the wicked and what they had done. Then he saw what stood in wait for them. Then he saw what it did for the righteous and how the righteous reacted to it. And he pronounced this as himself. But, again, remember, if I get treated badly at work, and then I write a screed against the one who hurt me, and I say, and God will judge you someday, that doesn't make it suitable to put into the hymn book for the people of God. And if this were purely a personal reflection on David, it wouldn't be suitable either for the eternal hymn book of the Christian and the Jew. Instead, though, we see that this whole psalm points to the life of David again as a type of Jesus. And by type, I don't mean a variety of, but pointing to Jesus' life there for the people to see. The covenant head of the people, the one chosen and marked out by the prophet and anointed to, in a way, be a savior. He was a Messiah. He was an anointed. He stood between the people and God on several occasions, leading them. And those who sought to destroy him were defeated. And David was strengthened by it. And as he then kept working in the covenant position as the king, and it, to some degree the prophet of the people in Israel, he pointed to the one who would come that would do it even better, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And though the evil ones on earth sought to destroy him by their wicked perversity, by their froward tongues and behavior, instead they set him up to do his work as the Lamb of God, and to die for the sins of his people. And through that, he sits then in the assembly forever, and in the presence of God's saints, he rules in the church. And people, we have a decision, children particularly. Do we rest on being in the wicked, or do we look at Jesus? Do we see his sacrifice, and through him enter the covenant people and enter into the communion of the saints? Well, as we sing this psalm, we'll sing the first version. And let's look at this again. We think of it in terms of Doeg and David. We can think of it in terms of Judas and Jesus. And in our own lives, the wicked who seek to pull us down and the God who bears us up.